Just before we have the word today, I just want to show a clip, and so I just want to turn your attention to the screen for this clip.
Lieutenant Frank Grimes, Chicago Police Department. Are you the man in charge?
That's right.
Well, who am I speaking to?
John Q.
I assume since all the doors are locked, this is a hostage situation. Is that correct? Okay.
Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I know you do things your own way.
Blood pressure is dropping fast. He's going into cardiac arrest.
But I don't understand.
Mike's heart is useless. He's going to need a transplant or he's going to die.
What made Mike so sick?
Transplant surgery is very expensive.
We got insurance.
There are no provisions in your policy for a procedure of this magnitude.
All right, you want money. I'll get you your money.
We've recently switched carriers.
We only give assistance to patients without coverage.
I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Have you tried Medicaid?
No, you don't qualify.
My son is dying. I'm broke. If I don't qualify, who the hell does?
I've done everything I can do. I'm sorry.
Please.
They are releasing him. Now you need to do something.
I'll take care of
him. Hear me? Do something!
Your hospital's under new management now. Everybody does exactly what I say, nobody will get hurt. More hurt.
I want my kid's name on the donor's list.
This is going to end up bad for you, John.
Police will do whatever is necessary to preserve the lives of these hostages.
Oh, they're telling me I got to take my son home and watch him die.
If you could speak to John Q right now, what would you say to him?
I'm there with you and you take care.
5:15,
Frank. Something happens for me.
Are you praying for him, baby?
Yes, I'm praying, sweetheart.
He's a good kid. You'd like him.
I am not gonna bury my son.
I got a shot at this guy, and I'm gonna take it.
My son is gonna bury me.
Take the shot.
How's it gonna end, John?
Very dramatic video. That's actually based on a true story that actually did happen, where a man that was so desperate to save the life of his son that he did actually take over the emergency room of a hospital because he just was so desperate was the love of a father for his son. So it's a true story. It's based on a true story. And I want to talk today about a father that loves you so passionately that he'll do absolutely anything for you and has in fact done that. That's what I want to talk about today, that we do have actually a father that loves us so much with such a passion, even as that father in that show did. You can watch that movie and find out how it all works out in the end. But there is a point in that movie where he is so desperate that he insists that the surgeon that he's taken hostage, he says, take my heart now. You take my heart and you stick it in my son right now. And the surgeon saying to him, I can't do that. If I take your heart, you're going to die. He says, my son is going to die. If I have to die so my son can live, then let that happen. And such was the passion, such is the love of a father portrayed in that movie, which is based on a true story. And such is the love that the Father in heaven has for us. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, that you have a love, a father that loves you to such an extent. And my prayer is that we really begin to understand how much our Father in heaven loves us. Because I think a lot of the problems that Christians have, a lot of problems that people have in life, is because they don't really understand how much God loves them. Everything that God would do for them, everything that God would do to keep their children, keep his children alive in an eternal sense, that they would not be separated from them, that they would not endure eternal punishment. That is the love that the Father in heaven has for you. He loves you with such a intensity. There's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, and you can follow this on the screen. Ephesians chapter 3, and this is a prayer that the Apostle Paul was praying. And it's my prayer for us today. And I pray that you may, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. To know how much God loves you, to know the extent of God's love. That little clip you saw, it's about a desperate father that do anything for his children, prepared to even give his own life. And we have a father that loves us with such an intensity, with such a passion, that he actually loved us even to the point of death. John 3:16 is a scripture that every one of us, so I trust that you know and heard of that scripture before. Maybe if you haven't been to a church before, maybe you haven't heard the scripture. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world." For God so loved the world. The desperation of God's love. God was so desperate that you and I may not die, that we might not die in our sins, that we might not have to endure eternal punishment. God was so desperate, desperate that he would do anything for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So God loved us so much. So desperate was God that he would spend eternity with you. God doesn't want to see anybody spending their eternity in suffering, in pain and in torment, suffering the consequences of their sin. God's heart is for us. He is desperately in love with every single one of us. He is desperately in love with you. And so in love with you that Christ came and died on the cross in our place. That's such an amazing love. If we could even understand even 10% of what that meant, then your whole life would be transformed. If you really understood how much God loves you, I'm going to talk a little bit more about it later, but honestly, it will change everything within our lives. So many of the struggles that we go through, so many of the questions that we ask, it's all because really we don't understand how wide and how deep and how wonderful the love of our Father in heaven is. You have a Father that loves you with a perfect love. A perfect, unadulterated love, an unconditional love, who loves you so much with such an intensity. God yearns for you. If we just knew God's heart, how much God yearns for you, how much God longs for you, how much loves you. And rather, this desperate man that would do anything, we saw a father that did everything and even sent Jesus Christ to die upon the cross in our place for our sin. What an amazing love that is. What a passionate love. What an incredible love that God was so desperate to have you, so desperate to have me, that he did everything that it took. He died upon the cross in our place. What an amazing love that is. What an amazing love with us. Maybe your father isn't the sort of father that might do something as crazy as we saw in that clip, but you have a father in heaven that did something far more powerful and so more profound. That Jesus came and died on the cross. And the thing about the love of God is the love of God is something that he gives so freely to us. We don't have to beg God. And it really grieves me when I hear even people in their prayers, the way that they're pleading with God and almost begging with God and almost as if God is somehow, if I can twist God's arm enough, if I do something good enough, if I jump through enough hoops, maybe some way God will hear me. Maybe God will listen to me. That little boy that you saw portrayed there, he couldn't even cry out. He was in such a state. And we have a Father in heaven that will do so much more. His heart is for us. We don't have to beg God, plead with him, try to blackmail him, try to make deals with him. Here, God, do this for me and I'll do this for you. If people who think like that don't understand at all the love of the Father in heaven. His love is there. It's such a powerful love that he gives so freely, an all-encompassing love. 1 John 3:1 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. How great, I love this scripture. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. He doesn't drip feed it to you. I need a little love right now, Lord. Give me that little bit of love. He doesn't drip feed his love to us. He doesn't give it to us when we earned it, when we deserve it, when we're good enough. He gives that to us. He lavishes his love. He's pouring his love upon you. Even now, even as you're sitting here this morning, God is pouring his pure love upon you and upon your life. That love is there for us. He lavishes his love. He pours his love upon us. We don't have to beg for it. We don't have to beg him. He's a father that just loves you so much. And then look, even as a natural father, we want to bless our kids. We're not perfect fathers. He's a perfect father. Maybe your father wasn't so perfect, but God is the perfect father. But even as an imperfect father, Luke 11:11, it says, "Even you know, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who love him?" God is a God who freely wants to pour his love and grace upon our hearts and lives. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. He does not change like shifting shadows. We can always rely on the love of God. We can always rely on him. God doesn't, one day, you know, God's in a bad mood, he's grumpy with you today, and you know, as an imperfect person, you're going to have a good day, you're going to have a bad day. And as much as we're growing in the love of Christ and God is changing us, we're still on the journey. We're not there yet. We're still working it out. We can have a good day. We can have a day that maybe isn't so good. God doesn't change like shifting shadows. He doesn't love you full on with all his heart at one time, and then now he loves me a little less. God loves us completely, totally, and utterly, continually. He's pouring his love upon us. God loves us so, so much. And my heart is that we begin to understand really how much God loves us. Because I see people questioning God. You know, God, why did this happen? Even as we saw, I said, God, why is this happening? If we really knew the heart of God and knew how much God loves us, we would never question him. We would never question him. You have a kid who gets upset because maybe other kids, you know, maybe you've got a kid who's 8 and the other kids are watching MA 15+ movies. Parents who just don't think, obviously, let the children watch those things. And maybe an 8-year-old kid will say, they're allowed to watch that movie, why can't I watch it? Because they just don't understand. They don't understand the protection of a parent that's guarding them and doesn't understand. It's unfair. Sometimes we think it's unfair, God. Why this, God? Why can't I? Or why did this? And it's because we just don't understand. We don't have the maturity. We don't have the depth of wisdom and understanding. As a child gets older, as they become a parent, they realize, oh, that's why I don't let my kids watch AV or MA 15+ movies. They suddenly realize, oh. But when they're a little child, they can't see that. And our understanding of the love of God is very childlike in the sense that we don't appreciate the depth of it. We don't have a maturity of that. And maybe we will never fully understand, as long as we're on this earth, the full love of God. But my prayer is that we have a greater understanding of the revelation of God and his love. Because his love, ultimately, it does change everything. If you understand how much God loves you, it changes everything within your life. You find that you cannot harbour something against someone. When you're feeling that you're so loved of God and you know how much God loves you, you can't hold that, you can't harbour that, because you've been loved so freely, and then you're able to find that actually I can forgive. As much as it's hard, I can actually do that. Sometimes that we doubt, but if we really knew how much God loved us, we would never doubt him. We would never doubt him. How could we doubt someone who loves us so much? You would never doubt him if you really knew how much God loved you. But sometimes we forget how much God loves us, and we forget, look at our need and our situations, our problems, our pain, our struggle, and we just forget, hang on, God loves me so very much. We would trust God unconditionally. If we knew how much he loves us, we would trust him completely. Completely would you trust him in every area of your life. And when we struggle, it's only because we don't really trust him. When we struggle with things, is we just say, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can. But it's only because we don't really know his love. And if you have a revelation of how much God loves you, it changes everything in your life. It changes how you think. It changes how you feel. It changes how you believe. Because when you know that you are totally and completely loved, you suddenly find that you feel very secure. You actually feel very secure. And you find that when you're totally loved, you find I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to prove myself to you. I don't have to prove myself to anyone, because the one who knows me the most, he loves me the best. So I don't have to prove myself, because I stand totally approved by the love of God. Apostle Paul makes this statement. He says, you know, I'm subject to no man's judgment. And you think, well, gee, that sounds a little arrogant, doesn't it, Paul? No, he's not being arrogant. He just understands that God loves him so much, and that he's secure in who he is. It actually changes the whole way that you live your life when you know how God loves you. You feel secure. You're not threatened, because God loves you completely, totally and completely loves you. And it's a love that you have in the Father in heaven, that no human father, it doesn't matter how good, there's some really good human fathers around, some great human fathers, ones that we stand and applaud. Pastor John is a brilliant role model as a human father, as a godly man, as a godly father. And there's some fathers that aren't so good as well that aren't perhaps the great model or whatever thing that we maybe would want in a father. But we have a Father in heaven who is everything that we ever need in a father. He's everything. He's the one that sustains us, who nurtures us, protects us, provides for us. And if we really knew how much he loved us, then it would change everything in our lives. You could never allow those things that crop up to overcome you because you have a Father that is so desperately in love with you. How can we doubt him? How can we question him? How can we not trust him when he loves us so much? Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint us. Doesn't disappoint us. He doesn't let us down. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. And so there's a love that we can trust in when we know that we've got a Father who loves us with such a passion and such an intensity. It really does affect your identity. And identity is such an important thing. Your identity as a person will come through your Father. It's interesting, when David was fighting Goliath and then David, you know, he's going to battle and sees all that's happening, Saul keeps saying, he goes, who's this guy's dad? Who's his dad? Who's this guy's father? Who's his father? And your identity will come through your father. And some people will struggle then because they say, well, maybe my father was not the perfect father. He wasn't this father. He maybe wasn't all of that. But you have a Father in heaven. And as a Christian, as a believer, your identity is now found in him. And your security is now found in him. You have the perfect Father in heaven who loves you with such an intensity. And if we begin to understand that, that's where our sense of self-worth comes from. So many people who think that they're hopeless, they think they're helpless, they think they're loveless, they think they're unlovable. How can anyone ever love me? Maybe because of something they've done. And they feel that they're beyond redemption. There's nothing that they could do. No one's ever going to love them. Some people feel like they're almost thrown out on the scrap heap of life because of what they've done or their own failures or just maybe who could love me? But there is someone that loves everyone. He loves us so much, even to the point of death, even to the point of the cross, as our Father in heaven, he loves us. And if you begin to understand that, it does. It changes the way you think. It changes the way that you feel. It changes the way you process struggles and difficulties. When you go through tough times, you will go through tough times. You will go through tough times. There's nothing to stop that. Unfortunately, you live in a world where there's sin and you're going to go through difficulties. But to know that there's a God who loves us, that is not against us, but is for us, but loves us so passionately and so deeply, that sustains us. More than sustains us, it brings us through. It's when we forget the love of God, that's when we struggle. And I think a lot of struggles that people have is when they just aren't mindful. Hang on, God loves me. He loves me so much. He loves me with all the intensity that God can love. I can't comprehend the full length of God's love. I can't even begin to understand it. Maybe if I understand 1%, I don't know. But maybe some are less than 1%, I don't know. Maybe you understand more than I do, I don't know. But my prayer is that we'll have a greater revelation of how much God loves us because it changes everything in your life. It changes your reactions, how you deal with things, how you handle things. Because, you know, at the end of the day, there is someone who loves me. The one who knows me the best loves me the most. And that's such a profound thing if we can grab a hold of that and understand that he loves us. And the love of God will affect every relationship that you have. Every human relationship you have will be affected by how much you understand the love of God. And if you struggle in human relationships, it could well be it's because you haven't had a revelation on how much God loves you. Because God gives you a capacity. When you're totally loved and you're secure in that love, you're secure in who you are, even though you know you're not perfect. Well, God knows you're not perfect, but he loves you completely. When you're secure in yourself, then you find you have an ability to love that perhaps maybe you couldn't have it yourself. You have ability to forgive because you know that you're forgiven. You have a capacity to care because you know that you're completely loved. And there's an overflow of love that comes out of your heart and your life. How wonderful a thing it is to be totally loved by God. It affects everything. It affects everything. And if you're struggling in any relationship, then the first place I would come to is to my Father and say, Father, Lord, just give me that revelation of your love. Lord, help me to be more loving. Father, help me to be more forgiving, Lord, because you love me so much. Lord, help me to allow that love, Lord, just to flow in my life. The scripture says it's already poured it into your heart. It is actually already there. Lord, help me just to know that more. Help me to release that love more, even as you've loved me. And allow the love of God to flow powerfully through your heart. He's your Father in heaven who loves you. And when someone loves us that much, it demands some kind of a response. It demands a response from us. There's a handkerchief in there somewhere. We need to respond to that love. Some people just will not respond to the love of God. And really, look, even unbelievers, if they really understood how much God loved them, they would fall on their knees and cry out and say, Lord, I need you in my life. If they really understood how much they were loved of God, if they really knew how much his love was, people would flock into the kingdom of God. If they knew what it was love to be loved that much, because no person on this earth is ever going to love you that much. No person on this earth is ever capable of loving you this much. And thank you. And so people will look for love in relationships and try to find love. Well, the true pure love is going to come from the Lord. There's a gift of relationships and loving one another, but how powerful is that love that we find in the Lord? There's a scripture in Jeremiah 3:19. This is one of the saddest verses in the Bible, in my opinion. And this is the cry of your Father in heaven. This is the heart cry of the Father in heaven. And this is God himself speaking. He says, I myself said, how gladly I would treat you like sons and give you a desirable land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. I thought you would call me Father and not turn away from following me. This is the Father. I just feel the grief in God's heart when you read that. He says, I thought you would call me Father. I want you to be my sons. I have a great inheritance for you, beautiful inheritance. I thought that you would call me Father and not turn away. And it's like a brokenness in God's heart where people turn away, have turned away, don't follow him, and says, I've got an inheritance. I've got it all for you. I thought you would call me Father. And how painful it is to the heart of God when we don't respond to his love. We just take his love for granted. We don't even think about how much he loves him, how much he loves us. He says, I thought you would call me Father. So much has God cry out for our love and just to be with us. He gave everything for us. If you don't know Jesus Christ here this morning, and you've never responded to him, the Lord is saying, I thought you would call me Father because I'm your Father. I love you and I want you to be in relationship with me. That's the cry of the Father in heaven. We've got to respond to that. We need to receive his love. Someone is loving us with such an intensity, the creator of heaven and earth who loves us, it demands a response in us. We cannot ignore that. We cannot sleep through it. We cannot find it irrelevant. If God loves us so much, the creator of heaven and earth, then that demands a response. We need to respond to that love. If we don't know Jesus Christ, the way to respond is say, Lord, I come and I receive your love. I become your child. I become your son. I become your daughter. I receive it. But even for us who believe, we need to respond to him. 1 John 4, verses 15 and 16 says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. To know and rely on the love God has for you. Do you do that? Do you know that much God loves you? Even if it's only 1%, do you know, have an understanding of how much he loves you? Do you rely on that? Do you rely on every other thing, everything else you can think of? Rely on your bank account, rely on your own skill, rely on your own knowledge, rely on whatever else we can rely on. But he wants us to rely on him. So we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And so we need to receive his love. The first thing we need to do is to receive the great love that he has for us. And even today, right now, God wants to pour his love upon you right now. Some of you are hurting today. God wants to pour his love on you even now, right now. Your Father in heaven wants to pour his love. He thought you'd call him Father. Call him Father today. And the other thing is that when you know the love of God, you want to live your life so that you're not going to hurt him. When you love someone really so much, You don't want to cause them harm. You don't want to cause them pain. You don't want to let them down. You don't want to hurt them. And sometimes you may do that. But when you know someone loves you so much, know the love of God, you know that He loves you with such a passion, the way you live your life will be a little different. You won't do things that you know are going to cause Him pain. Think, Lord, how can I do that to You? We think we're doing it to ourselves or to someone else or getting away with whatever we think. We're really doing it to God. We're really hurting Him because He wants us to love Him. That's what obedience is. See, some people think that obedience is there's a rule, you follow the rule, and that's obedience. Well, that comes and the Scripture says, no, that's not love. It says fear is to do with punishment. Perfect love casts out all fear. So it's not you don't obey God because you're afraid of what He might do to you if you do something wrong. You obey Him because you realize He loves you so much and that you love Him with every fiber of your being. You say, God, I don't want to hurt You. I don't want to let You down, Lord, and I'm sorry. I know that maybe sometimes I do. But, Lord, I'm going to live my life in such a way that I'm going to honor You, I'm going to glorify You because You love me so much, Lord, and I want to love You. It'll change how you live. Not under religion, under rules and regulations, because that's an external thing. This is an internal, heartfelt thing that says, God, You love me so much, Lord, and because You love me, Lord, I love You, and I don't want to hurt You. Because we don't realize is that when we hurt one another, we hurt God. When we hold on to things, we're hurting God who loves us so much. When we do things, it's God is the one that we're hurting who loves us, a father. You know, you're a natural, with all those that are fathers here, if you see your kids fighting with one another, it grieves your own heart. It hurts you. They're not hurting each other. It hurts you. And multiply that a million trillion times to imagine how much it hurts God. We've got to give God time if we love Him. If someone loves us so much, we need to give Him time. Sometimes some people struggle to give Him time once a week on a Sunday. But God doesn't want just once a week on a Sunday or twice a week or midweek or whatever. God wants us every day, every moment. He's a Father that loves us. He wants your heart every day. Every day, every moment, God wants your heart. And God wants us to spend time. When someone loves you, then spend time with them. And the Father loves you. It's a cry saying, call me Father, I'm your Father. I want to love you. I want to love you. I want to love you. Let Him love you. Spend time with Him. He'll make you want to spend time with Him. And the final thing I want to say this morning is that when we know how much God loves us, we realize, how dare I keep that love to myself? If I am totally loved, completely loved, utterly loved, the one who knows me best, loves me the most, then how could I ever keep that to myself? Because look, you go out, you're going to go out of here, you're going to get in your car, something, you're going to go home, you're going to whatever you're going to do, whatever you're going to do today. Some of you have some things on, others won't. Whatever you do, you're going to go past people everywhere in cars, just normal people. You may go, whatever you do. And they're going to come across people who don't really know what love is. And they've got a fractured idea of what love is because maybe their parents didn't really understand themselves what love was. And so they couldn't actually give a real love because they never knew what love was anyway themselves. You're going to find some people that are just broken who just feel that no one could ever love me. I've done too many things, too many bad things, and how can anyone love me? No one could ever love me. I'm hopeless, I'm helpless, I'm loveless. And it's up to us to tell them that there's someone that loves them so much. You've got family members even right now who aren't walking with the Lord, who don't know this. And my prayer is that we'd be talking to them and crying out to them and saying, you've got to know someone loves you. You've got to know there's someone who loves you so much. And I'm telling you because I love you, but there's someone who loves you far more than any human love. It's people that you know, people that you're in a relationship. We need to share that love with them. Share the love of God with people. Let them know. Let them know that there's a love that is far deeper than any human love they've ever known or could ever imagine. There's a love so pure. Let them know. Let them know. Don't keep it to yourself. Let them know. You know, just imagine that you've got, you know, you're a child and you're happily living with your family. You've got a great parents. Everything's fine. And you find out, your parents don't know, but somehow you find out that, and maybe your parents... maybe your mother when she was younger, you know, there was twins and maybe she thought one of the twins was died but the hospital adopted it out because of the, whatever it was, the circumstance. You find that you've actually got another brother or another sister that you didn't know about. And now your choice is, well, I'm happy in my little family here, they're loving me, but what if you went and told them and say, look, actually, you belong in there too. And that's really what it's like with the world of people around us. They have a Father in heaven who loves them and they just don't know. And my encouragement is, can we please tell people? Let them know, understand how much God loves you yourself. Let him know how much he loves you, but have a heart to tell other people. 2 Corinthians, the last scripture, I'm going to close with a clip right now, but so you can get that clip ready, guys. Just read the scripture. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Christ's love compels us. When you know how much God loves you, you want other people to know that love. And my prayer today, even as Paul's prayer was, is that you'd have a glimpse, an understanding of how much God loves you. I'm going to close with a little prayer, then I'm going to watch this clip, and then I'm going to dismiss the service. But if you want prayer, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know your Father in heaven, then you come and know your Father in heaven. And I'm just going to close with this clip. We're not going to have any song at the end of the service today. I'm just going to close with this clip. But if you want prayer, I'll be here and be an opportunity for prayer this morning. So let's just watch this. Let me pray. Father, I just pray. Father, even as we watch this little clip, Lord, that you'll speak to us. Lord, I believe you've already been speaking to us in our hearts. And Father, I pray, Lord, for every person that is here, Lord, that we'd understand we have a Father in heaven who loves us with such a passion, that loves us, Lord, will do anything for us, Lord, who even went to the point of Jesus dying on the cross for us. Father, let us know your love, Lord. Let it change the way we live. And Father, help us to share that love with others, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. Anyone who doesn't know you, Father, Lord, let them come and know that perfect love this day, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's watch this.
About to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and he is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is his love letter to you. On your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you.